tonight to the 22nd chapter, Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to just read verse 1 and 2. Thanks again for being here. Thanks for entertaining the beautiful presence of God. Just make yourself at home. Let's have church tonight. Amen. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Everybody say the land of Moriah. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. My title tonight for this message is, If I Can Make It to Moriah, I Can Make It. If I can make it to Moriah, I can make it. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. Thanks to Sister Melinda for fixing this PA tonight. Sounds better, don't it? Amen. This morning was a challenge for all of us. Me preaching and you listening, bless your heart. Amen. But thank the Lord, it's done now. Amen. Abraham had a very intimate relationship with God. Abraham knew the Lord. And the Lord knew and called Abraham by his name. They were on a first name basis. And it's good to be on a first name basis with God. Anybody here know his name? I'm glad I know his name, aren't you? Amen. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. So Abraham and God had a wonderful relationship, and he maintained that relationship. So the Lord came to Abraham, and the Bible said that he came to tempt him. The word tempt is not in a sense of sin, because God never tempts anybody to sin. God tries people. Amen. And that's okay. God told us we could try him. The Bible said that, didn't it? Remember in Malachi, the Lord said, Try me. And in the psalm it said, Try me. Now, some of us are more serious about buying an automobile than we are a relationship with God, because we won't buy a car without trying it. Amen. Some of us won't even buy ice cream without trying it. It's a new flavor. Amen. We try all kinds of things. So God said, Try me. And he's honest up front. He said, Because I'm going to try you. Now the reason God tries us is not because he doesn't know us and know what's in us, but we don't know what's in us. We do not know what we're capable of until God presses us and pushes us and stretches us. You know, the value, when you stretch something, it never quite goes back to what it was before. It's a little bit stronger and a little bit longer than it was before. So every time God stretches you, it makes you a little stronger than you were yesterday. It makes you a little better than you were yesterday. So God said, I'm going to try you. You remember when we used to go to school, we had these things called tests. Wasn't that great? Test. The greatest thing about test is I don't have to take them anymore. I've been on both sides of the desk. I've been on the learning side, and I've been on the teaching side. And I understand from the side of a teacher, the reason you give a test is to find out if people are learning. My opinion, if you're not learning,
I'm not teaching. Amen. I don't know if you're getting it or not until you can give it back to me. And so the purpose of a test is to find out if you're learning something. And I also found out it not only teaches me what I learned, but it teaches me what I didn't learn. So God sends tests into our life, not just to show us what we learn, but to show us what we have not yet learned. And so He said, let's do it again. Amen. It's important that you get this. So God tested Abraham. And He says to him, I want you to take thine son, your only son. Now we know Abraham had more than one son, but God only recognized one of them. Amen. He had a son called Ishmael. But that wasn't, God said, that was your doing there, Abraham. That was your deal. Our deal is Isaac. Amen. That's the one I told you that I was going to give you, but you got in a hurry and you messed things up. Amen. And we're still dealing with that today in great measure. But He said to Abraham, He said, I want you to take Isaac, whom you love, and I want you to go to Moriah. The word Moriah means the Lord sees. Amen. God is looking. God is watching. God is seeing. He said, I want you to go to Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now that must have been a hammer sledge blow to Abraham. But the Bible said that he rose up early in the morning. He said, if this is going to be done, we might as well get about it now. If this is something that I'm going to do, and I am, because God asked it of me, I'm not going to put it off. I'm not going to tarry. I'm going to go ahead and obey. So he rose up early. He got his beast together. He got his son together. He got his servants together. The Bible said he clave the wood. He split it. And he got it ready for the burnt offering. And he said, now I'm headed out, God, to where you tell me. Now, the Bible said it was a 3-day journey. They traveled for 3 long days to get to where God had called them to. And then on the 3rd day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And he turns to the servants that are with them, and he says, stay here. And he said, I and the lad will go and worship. Now hang on to your hat here. Amen. He called this worship. He called the offering of his son worship. Amen. There's a concept, the difference in praise and worship. You can praise God without worshiping God. Praise is simply giving God that is His due. That is, you acknowledge God. You acknowledge who God is. You acknowledge what God has done. But worship always involves offering. It always includes sacrifice. Amen. So if you can come and praise God without much sacrifice, as a matter of fact, you can praise God for a show. You can praise God to show people how spiritual you are. You can praise God because it just feels good. Yeah. Right? Amen. Anybody can praise God. Anybody can praise God. But not everybody can worship God. Because when you get ready to worship God, it's going to cost you something. It's more than a feeling. Amen. It gets way down deep inside. Amen. There's a difference in saying, I love you, Jesus, and praise you, Jesus, and getting way down deep inside of you to the deepest part of your being. And when it costs you something, and when your body's not feeling good, and when you're having a hard time, and when you lost your job, and things are not going good at home, and things are tough all around you, but there's something down deep inside of you. It's more than a lip service. It gets way down inside and said, Jesus, I love you more than anything in my life. And nothing is going to separate us when the dust settles and the battle is over. I'm still going to be standing here and I'm still going to be praising and worshiping you. Amen. That's what Abraham was doing. He was worshiping. God, you've asked something of me that's the hardest thing that I've ever done and the hardest thing that I'll ever do. But I'll do it because I love you. And you are the most important facet of my life. So he takes the sun and he takes the wood and he begins his journey. But I want you to, before we march on, I want you to notice one more thing. He said, we will go and we will worship and we'll come again. That's his faith right there. You know, faith sometimes gets a hold of us and we'll say things we don't mean to say. We'll say things that we don't even understand when we say them. Let me give you an example of that. Peter on the day of Pentecost got anointed in the Holy Ghost. Amen. He got to preaching. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Boy, he was talking in the Holy Ghost. What Peter was saying was all Jewish flesh. That's what he meant. Because 12 years passed and they hadn't been to a Gentile yet. And finally the Lord says, okay, Peter, he gives him this vision of these unclean things on a sheet and he says, slay and eat. He said, oh, Lord, I never ate anything like that in my life. Amen, that's unclean stuff. And the Lord said, what I have cleansed, let no man call common or unclean. Let me tell you something tonight. It does not matter where you have been. It's where you are now. It does not matter what you were. It matters what you are now. You are no longer common and you are no longer unclean because you have been washed with the blood of Jesus Christ and you have been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost and you bear the name of God Himself. You're not common and you're not unclean because the blood has washed you clean. Woo, hallelujah. Ever devil ever come around you trying to tell you how unworthy you are? What a stinker you are? What a scoundrel you are? How unworthy? You turn around and you say, get away from me, slew foot. I am mine. I'm a child. And my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Yeah, I'm not unclean. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Peter didn't know what he was saying. He's speaking faith. And when he got to Cornelius' house after much convincing, the Bible said, while he yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Amen. And they began to speak in tongues and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost while Peter was still preaching. And he didn't either, when he said that, he didn't believe it. I don't know if Abraham really perceived everything here. I know that he understood some things by now about God. They'd been together a long time. And he had watched the Lord do miracle after miracle. And so in the book of Romans, it lets us know that he had this kind of faith, that if he did sacrifice his son, that God was going to raise him up again, because there were promises in that boy that had not come to pass yet. He understood, now God, this is between us. So I don't know what's going to happen to Isaac. I may have to sacrifice him, but it cannot end there, because there are still promises that you made to me in this boy, and it's got to be him. If God said it, you can believe it. You can hang on to it. Amen. You can claim it. You can confess it. Amen. You can expect it. You can look for it. It's going to come to pass. Amen. He don't understand what's going on, but he said, we will come again. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Bible said he gets the lad, he gets all the stuff. They head out to the mountain. They get there to a certain place that God told him about, and he started building an altar. Now, Abraham was good at that. He knew how to build an altar. Amen. Christian, you listen to me tonight. One thing you need to learn how to do in your Christian life is learn how to build you an altar. I'm not talking about wood or stone. You need to know how to get a hold of God. You need to learn how to get at the side of your bed, or at your coffee table, or in a closet, or in an automobile, out in the pasture somewhere. But you need to know how to touch God and reach God on behalf of yourself and your family. Abraham, you know what an altar is? An altar is not a piece of furniture. It's a place that you meet with God. That's what an altar is. It's a place that you meet with God. Abraham, everywhere he went, he had a special place. Well, as soon as he got there, he said, I got a place here where I can meet with God. Amen. I don't ever want to have a God not to have a place wherever I am. When we were in Bible college, my little niece was very young, probably about 2 years old when we went there. And every house they lived in, when we were out of school, I had a room that I would stay in, and that was John's room. So they were building a new house, and she said, well, where's John's room? She had to make sure that I had room, because that's all she'd ever known. Amen. Well, you need to have a Jesus room. Amen. I don't care where you live, you need a Jesus room. If it's a little apartment, you need a Jesus room. You need a place. You need an altar somewhere that you can meet with God. Amen. I'll tell you something. You say, well, preacher, why would God want to meet with me? Because he loves you. That's why. Just as simple as that. Amen. Did you know the Bible said, I will draw close to you. If you will set aside a place to meet with God, God will meet you there. Amen. So Abraham was a builder of altars. And so he had a place that he met with the Lord. And so he builds the altar. And the Bible said he lays the wood in order. And the time has come. So he binds his son. He ties him on the altar. Ties him on top of the altar. Wood's there. Fire's ready to be started. Nothing's happened. God, you're cutting us kind of close, you know. Where are you? So he takes the knife, grips it in his hand, raises his hand high. God, any time now. Amen. He's ready to plunge the knife in, and suddenly the Lord shows up. And he calls him, Abraham! Abraham! Now I know that you'll not withhold anything. Amen. Hallelujah. So God spares the son. He hears
a ram bleeding, and he looks around, and there he is, caught in the brush. And isn't that quite a coincidence? That's not coincidence. That's God. Amen. Did not he say to his son, God will provide himself? He may not have known just how prophetic that was, himself. A sacrifice. And isn't that what he done? Amen. When the time came, he literally provided himself as our sacrifice. Amen. When John looked up and saw Jesus, it's no mistake that he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. So God provided a way out for Abraham. And I tell you, there couldn't be any greater joy than watching that ram. And I'm sure that was the most thankful sacrifice that he'd ever offered up in all of his life. When he cut that little old ram and he put him on that altar and he offered up that sacrifice of gratitude and thanksgiving and exceeding joy to the Lord. Amen. You know what? He came back down. Hallelujah. But the Lord said, I want you to go to a place called Moriah, because I'll see you there. I'll see you there. Amen. There are places in life that God sees that I cannot see. There are things in life and places in life that I do not know that God knows. And he knows that for some reason I need to get to that place. I need to be in that place. I need to meet him in that place. Amen. And so, in his own way, he leads me to that place. And when I get to that place, I will see the Lord. I will see his work. I will see his manifestation. I will see his vision. I will see his love. I will see his grace. When I get to Moriah. Everybody needs to get to Moriah. If you can get to Moriah, you can make it. You can make it from there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Neil, you went to Moriah last year. Amen. In a hospital bed up in Dallas, Texas. Amen. The Lord met you there. Yes, he did. In a marvelous way, the Lord met you there. Amen. Brother Fry, the Lord met you in a truck out in Florida a few years ago. Amen. He met you there. Yes, he did. Praise the Lord. And you're a miracle that you're here tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. God has some Moriahs in life. And when you get there, you'll meet him. He'll meet you. He'll see you. And things will change. Years have passed. Israel is now no longer just Abraham's little family. It's no longer just Isaac. Now it's quite a clan. As a matter of fact, David, the king, decides he's going to number his army. So they begin to count, and they get well over a million. And the Lord gets very angry. He said, David, I told you not to do this. You know why God didn't want David to number Israel? For the same reason he don't want us worried about numbers. Some people get their eyes on numbers and their worship and a service is kind of dictated by who's there. Amen. You know, sometimes it happens to preachers too. You know, sometimes preachers they have a hard time preaching if there's just not a certain number of people there. Amen. You got to get your eyes off of the number. Amen. He said, I don't want you worried about a number, David. I don't want your confidence to be in how many in Israel. I don't want your confidence to be in how large your army is. I don't want your confidence to be in how well equipped your army is. I want your confidence to be in me. I want your faith to be in me because I am the deliverer of Israel. Amen. I am the captain of hosts. I'm the one that's leading this thing. I can save with a few, or I can save with many. Didn't he prove that? Amen. Yes, he did. He proved that he don't have to have a great army. He can use Gideon,
and his few men. He got rid of most of them. All the sissies went home. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? It's hard for me to imagine that 9,700 men would say, I'm a sissy, I'm going home. Hey, man, I couldn't have been in that number. I might have been scared out of my wits, but I couldn't go home and say, I'm a sissy, I'm leaving here. I just couldn't handle that. It's just not in me. But apparently, they had a problem going, like we got in America. Well, it's going to get worse. We just approved it a few days ago and said it's all right. So, anyway, praise the Lord. Now, where was I? We were somewhere here. He's at Moriah. So David numbers Israel. And he breaks one of God's commandments. And there's consequences. There's always consequences. You break one of God's laws, there are consequences. Break any law, there's consequences. Isn't that right? There are. There are consequences, in my house at least. If I broke one of my parents' laws, there was a consequence. I remember them saying, this is going to hurt me worse. Remember that? And it's going to hurt you. I thought, yeah, right. If that's true, hand me the belt. But it never did work that way. I didn't understand that then. I do understand that now. As a parent, the one that's issuing the discipline, I understand that now. But I didn't understand that when I was on the receiving end. God does not delight in discipline. God does not delight in punishment. God does not delight in circumstances. But it's just a law. Just as sure as there's a law of gravity. You say, well, I'm going to break it. You can try, but it'll break you. That's a law. It's a law of God. Unless for his own reason he decides to suspend that, and he can if he wants to, because he's the lawmaker. That's how miracles happen, is God suspends a law for a space of time and permits something to happen that is supernatural. And so God can do that. He's the lawgiver. So if he wants to, he can, but generally he doesn't. In David's case, he didn't. And so a plague came upon Israel. This is in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. If you want to follow along, 1 Chronicles 21 verse 14. So because of the numbering of Israel, there was this plague that came upon Israel. A terrible plague. And the Bible says that 70,000 men died. Everybody say 70,000. That's a lot of people. 70,000 people died. Because of David's disobedience. That seems very harsh. But those are just the facts. The Bible said that there was an angel that the Lord had sent, and he had this sword in his hand, and everywhere he went, death and destruction was following him. He comes to a particular place in Jerusalem. And when he gets to that particular place, God says, stop! And he stands with his sword in his hand. And he stops. And the killing stops. And the dying stops. And the plague is stayed. And God says, right there. He was at a place, there was a Jebusite who were the original inhabitants of Jabus, which later became Jerusalem. And so he's there, and there's a man by the name, in one place, Samuel, he's called Araunah, and in the book of Chronicles, he's called Ornan, but it's the same man, and perhaps had two names. But he's there, he's threshing his wheat in a particular place.
And when he gets to that place, the Lord tells the angel to stop, and he stops. And then he tells David, he said, I want you to go to the threshing place of Ornan, or Arona. And he said, when you get there, I want you to offer me a sacrifice in that place. Why that particular place? And so he chose out of everywhere he could have gone. Now, at this time, actually the Ark of the Covenant was down in Gibeon. But he didn't say go to Gibeon. He said you go to the house of the Jebusite, you go to Arauna's threshing floor, and you offer a sacrifice there. So David comes and he tells Arauna, he says, I need to offer a sacrifice to God here. And so the man said, all right, David, you take what you want. It's all yours. You can have it. I've got some oxen over here. I've got everything you need. Just take what you need and go ahead and worship God. And David looks at him and said, oh, no. You don't understand, sir. He said, I'm gonna buy this place. I'm going to give you whatever it's worth. Amen. I won't take it from you. And the oxen, I got to buy them too. He said, I'm not going to offer something to God that doesn't cost me anything. You know, that was worship, you see. David understood the difference in praising God and worshiping God. He said, I'm not about to offer God something unless it cost me something. So David got into his pocketbook and took out 600 shekels of gold. And he said, here it is. And 50 shekels of gold for the oxen. And he said, now I'm going to offer something to God here. So he goes to that place at the threshing floor. And he builds the altar. And he puts the oxen on the altar. And the Bible said God sent down fire and received that offering that David conceived. Why in the world did God choose that place? Because that was Moriah. That's where Abraham had offered his son. God said, we've been here before, and I remember what happened in this place. I remember the dedication and the love and the sacrifice that Abraham made here. And we're going to do it again, David, in the same place. Amen. That became the place of offering. As a matter of fact, the temple was built in that place. And the altar was in that place. I have stood at that place. And today it's covered by the Dome of the Rock. But that's the place that God chose. And the Lord saw that. And when that angel came to that place, the Lord said, okay, stop right there. You can't go past this. I remember what happened here. Amen. You know what I believe? I believe that God sees and hears things. And I believe that God's got a praying mama somewhere, and He listens to your prayers. And no matter where your children are or what they're doing, there are certain things that's not going to happen in their life. Because when they get to that point, God's going to say, oh no, not that, not there. I heard mama pray. That's not happening. Amen. My brother was in Vietnam. He was driving a Jeep with an officer. And they were driving along, and they hit a landmine. And it blew the Jeep upside down, threw them out. They were laying out in the open ground. There were snipers up in the trees shooting down at them. And at that very moment, that exact moment in time, thousands of miles away, my mom was sitting at a sewing machine. And the Lord just spoke my brother's name, Ronnie. And she immediately got up from that sewing machine and began to pour her heart out to God. Amen. Now you can believe what you want to. But I believe that God loved that little lady so much. He said, I'm not going to let this happen. So he had some angel put his hand over my brother. Amen. And keep him from a sniper's bullet that should have ended his life on a battlefield in Vietnam. And a little old mama in Midland, Texas, God said, pray now. Pray now. Amen. And God, that's a Moriah, you see. God said, no, it's not going to end here. It's not going to end here. Mom and Dad, you need to pray on. You're building some Mariahs in your life. Amen. But Brother Grissom, I'm not seeing any results. You keep praying. You keep praying. You keep praying. You keep praying. Amen. My precious pastor, Brother McDaniel, I heard him sometimes. We'd talk together, and he would talk about his oldest son, and he'd say, I'm still praying for him, but oh, he's so hard. He's so hard. He said, I can't reach him. He's so hard. I'm praying, but he's so hard. Amen. One day he called me, he's all excited. He said, I want to tell you, Johnny. He said, Crosby got the hope last night. He prayed through in Brother Flowers Church up in Dallas, Texas. You see, what he didn't know, he looked hard on the outside, but there was a precious man of God that wouldn't give up. And he built some Mariahs in his life, some places that God saw. And he said, I can't let that boy be lost because there's a daddy that's praying for him. Wasn't very long after that, just a very short time, he found out that he had terminal cancer. He didn't live but just a month or two after he prayed back through. But there's a God that saw a praying father that had been praying for years, and he wouldn't give up, hallelujah, until that boy came home. I'm telling you, hey, there's some Mariahs in your life. God sees them. God sees them. Amen. I hope somebody's believing what I'm preaching here tonight. Amen. It may look like it's hard. It may look impossible. But don't you dare give up. Don't you dare stop. Amen. What you don't see is that God does see. Amen. All you can see is what's on the outside. God sees what's on the inside. You can only see the present. God lives in the future. God lives in the past. God lives in the present. He's omnipresent. Amen. He's in all spheres. There's no place that God cannot be. Amen. He can touch anything, any place, any time. Nothing's beyond His reach. Amen. So God has some Mariahs in life, some places that He sends you to. And when you get there, He said, when you get to Moriah, I'm going to meet you there. Anybody met the Lord at some Mariahs in your life? Have you been to some tough places and you didn't know if you'd make it, but the Lord was there? Amen. And when you got up, something changed. Something was different. Because it was a Moriah. It was a place that God saw and set and said, we'll meet there, Abraham. Amen. We'll meet there. Praise the Lord. Young people, there are going to be some Moriahs in your life. Amen. There are going to be some things you're not going to understand. Amen. There are going to be some sacrifices that you're going to have to make. There are going to be some decisions that you're not going to understand. You're going to think, well, you know, God, I thought this was all going to work out this way, and it doesn't work out that way. And you think, why? Amen, because God's got a Moriah for you. Amen, He's got a meeting place. And it's going to work out better than you ever dreamed. It's going to work out better than you ever thought. But you don't know that yet. When you get there, you just hold on like Abraham, and you say, God, I don't know what I'm doing in this place, but nonetheless, while I'm here, I'm going to worship. My heart may be in 1,000 pieces, but I'm going to worship. And my faith may be weaker than it's ever been as far as how I feel, but I'm going to worship. It may seem like I haven't felt You in a long, long time, but I'm going to worship. Nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to worship God. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. If you could make it to Moriah, you can make it. When Abraham left there, he had an understanding about God that was deeper than anything he'd ever understood. He left that place calling Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord, He'll provide. Amen. Now you don't know that until you've watched Him do it a few times. And you don't understand that until you can't provide for yourself, and somehow God comes through. Amen. Praise the Lord. As long as you've got a reserve, you don't understand that there's times when only God can provide. But you don't know that until you get there. Amen. You may know it on one level, but he's going to do it on another level. And when you get there, and once he ever does that for you, you won't have a problem believing God can provide. Amen. You'll know it. You'll know it. He'll come through. He'll do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We were working on a project in Colombia. I think it's probably the only box we ever got from the United States. And while we were working on that project, somebody sent us a box of stuff from the United States. It had clothes, and it had men's ties, and some children's clothes, ladies' clothes. And it's kind of exciting. We never got a box like that. We're going through it. There were two young ladies that were from the Sunday school department working with us. And suddenly in that box, one of us pulled out a long white garment. And my wife said, "Well, look at this. There's a wedding dress in here." She said, turned to the young ladies. She said, "Y'all know anybody getting married?" And one of them started kind of weeping. She said, "I am." Isn't that something? God saw that. She could never have afforded anything like that. But somebody here sent a wedding garment all the way to Bogota, Colombia. And there's a little old lady there getting ready to get married, wondering what in the world she's going to do. It just fits the right size. There's everything. Amen. I'm just saying, God does provide. But Brother Grissom, that don't seem very important. It was to her. It meant a lot to her. I guarantee you, she'll never forget that story for the rest of her life. And she'll tell that story to her children and her grandchildren. And whenever they have a hard time, and think, she said, "Well, God's going to provide, honey. You just keep believing. You hold on. He's going to provide for you." Amen. That's Mariah. God sees and God provides. Amen. God sees and God provides. Amen. There's a Mariah. There's an altar right here. There's an altar right in the front of this building tonight. And I can promise you this, that the Lord will meet you right here. He'll meet you right here. If you want to come and talk to Him and you've got something you need tonight, God will meet you here. This can be your Mariah. This can be the place that you can rise up from here tonight. Amen. And you can say, I met the Lord right there. It may be that see, a little later on, somebody's going through something, and you may go back and get them by the hand and bring them down to that exact spot and say, it was right here. I remember on that Sunday night right here, God did something for me that I'll never forget. I'll never forget. I had this need. Nobody knew about it, but God knew about it. I didn't tell anybody, but God saw. God saw. And God provided. Anybody need to get to Mariah tonight? You got some things going on in your life, and you know that you need some help. You know that. You know that things are not right. And you need some help tonight. If you can make it to Mariah, to that place, God sees a spot right here. And I believe that He's drawing somebody right now. He's saying, "If you'll come right here, I'm going to meet you right here. And we're going to take care of some business tonight. I'm going to take care of some things for you that you cannot take care of by yourself." Hallelujah. Because if I can make it to Mariah, I can make it.
I can just get to that place of sacrifice. God has called me to. I can make it from here. Whoa, I met Jesus here, and I can make it from this place. I can make it from this place. I can make it. Hallelujah. Oh, God provided something for me. I can make it from here. Amen. Let's join these at the altar tonight, if you would, please. Amen. Let's just all find us a place to talk to the Lord a little bit tonight. Hallelujah. God, there's some stuff going on here. I got some things going on. Lord, I need some help. There's some things I don't understand. There's some things, God, that I can't handle. I don't know what to do about it. It's beyond me. But I know it's not beyond you. You can do it, Jesus.
Oh, I'm gonna lay
it. I know
down.
That if I can care, you care more than I do.
Gonna lay
and if I'm concerned, amen, you're concerned.
Gonna
amen.
Lay
you can do more tonight. You can do more. You can do more.
I'm gonna try.
Nothing's too hard for the Lord. Nothing's
even
too hard for the Lord.
The working of your hands, even though my path's unclear, Lord, I will trust your plan. I'm gonna lay it down. I'm gonna lay.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. These are your children. These are your children.
It go.
Meet us here.
Gonna let
meet us here.
It
this is your family. Your sons and your daughters.
Lord,
meet us here.
I'm gonna try.
Meet us here.
Gonna trust you now.
Meet us here.